This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, Trish. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. And do us a big favor, please. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing always helps. Tell your friends. Enjoy the podcast.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
I got to be honest with you. I thought I've heard it all in life. I really did. When I've heard every excuse under the sun to tax something. But in Philadelphia, the excuse to tax out of political revenge. Now that's interesting and juicy and actually alleged in a federal indictment. Yeah, I mean, here I was thinking to myself, you know, the kids, I thought the soda tax was for the children, You know, it was going to solve all the problems of the world. Children. Whenever the government tells you they're taxing something for the children, that's ever A, going to get to the kids, B, solve a problem, or C, that they're being honest. That's my kind of standard right there. A, it's not going to do a damn thing. B, it's never going to reach the kids. And C, they're just lying. You can reverse the order. It doesn't matter. But this soda tax thing, as I'm drinking a can of smuggled in Jersey soda, this is amazing to me. The federal indictment against John Daugherty and Brian Burroughs, this is amazing here. I'm sorry, Brian Burroughs is the defendant. Robert Hennin, Bob Hennin, the councilman. Anyway, so I guess here now, you know, this is amazing here now. Let's see here. On or about May 13th, 2015, defendant John Daugherty advised defendant Brian Burroughs, charged elsewhere in this indictment, Local 98 president, that he planned to use his relationship with defendant Robert Hennin to threaten the Teamsters Union for the political commercials that portrayed Daugherty in a negative light. Daugherty said, quote, "Let me tell you what Bobby Hennin's going to do." And he's already talked to blank elected public official. Redacted, I guess. "They're going to start to put a tax on soda again that will cost the Teamsters 100 jobs in Philly." Now, obviously, all of these individuals are presumed to be innocent until proven guilty. And I do mean that. I'm not one of those guys who just says that. I genuinely mean that. I really do. In life, you have to believe that. It's important to believe that. Because I've also seen the government charge people out of political retribution. I've seen people tax people out of retribution. And I've seen the government charge people out of retribution. So, in my opinion, whenever I say these things, I mean it. I don't say it just casually. No, these guys are innocent until proven guilty. All right? This is the case. The case the government's alleging against them. If true, let me do the standard Jim Kenney response. If true, this is very, very sad. A sad day. Is it, Mayor? Because if it's a sad day and that means you signed on to this tax, you've got some splaining to do, Mayor Kenney. Cost of Teamsters 100 jobs in Philly. You know what's fascinating is that I've talked to a bunch of Teamsters ever since this soda tax was put into place, and they've all talked about losing jobs. I've talked to grocery store workers. I've talked to grocery store owners. I've talked to convenience store workers. They've all said the same thing. They're losing jobs. And every time we heard this, what did Kenny say? The mayor of Philadelphia, what did he say? He said, they're making this up. They're all lying. Now we find out it might have been the motivating factor in the soda tax coming to fruition. Wow. Also from the indictment. On or about July 21st, 2015, defendant John Daugherty told a person connected to the Philadelphia Convention Center he wanted someone to deliver the message to a named Teamsters Union officer that if the officer keeps, quote, using the convention center against redacted family member number four in his conversations, he is going to wind up with a effing soda tax, which is going to kill him. And Bobby Hennin is delivering that message. Bobby Hennin, I just want to remind you, is the councilman here. Bobby the Brain Hennin. On or about May 24th, 2016, defendant Robert Hennin told defendant John Daugherty that a member of city council would vote in favor of a soda tax if the member of got a little like hug. Defendant Daugherty told Hennin, "Let him know that once you get this stuff, there's going to be a ton of major league jobs that his wife is more than qualified for." This is Philly. What are you going to do? I mean, this is Philly. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? You're drinking soda, and that soda is political retribution. I'll tell you something that I've learned is that our area is It feels like Jersey and Philly are always one-upping each other, you know? It's like Jersey corruption, Philly corruption. Philly looks at Jersey and says, I'll see that, hold my soda, and then we'll show you corruption. We'll show you this. Obviously, all of this, innocent or proven guilty. But if true, a very sad day. And if true, we need to have, I would say, probably a federal investigation into all this. Because does Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, was he conned into going along with it? Because he was a major champion of the soda tax. Kenny was the major champion of this. The mayor of Philadelphia was the major champion of the soda tax for the children. So if all this was happening to screw the Teamsters, it's like a movie. What did Kenny know? And when did Kenny know it? That's my question. That's what I'd like to know. I'd like to know that. Philly.com had a big story on this, and as did Billy Penn. I want to read you from Billy Penn. The Johnny Dock indictment explained. Feds charge a powerful union boss and his associates, including Councilman Bobby the Brain Hennen, on 116 counts of corruption. Bobby the Brain was actually it's a wrestling term, but one of our Zeoli Army Twitter members coined him that, and we're going to go with it. On Wednesday morning, federal officials handed down a blistering indictment of labor leader John Dougherty, head of IBEW Local 98, and District 6 Councilman Bobby Hennen. Six other people also charged as co-conspirators in what prosecutors paint as an extraordinary embezzlement scheme that defrauded the union's dues-paying members and turned its bank account into a personal slush fund. Considered the most powerful union in the state, Local 98 is a ton of political clout between Philadelphia and Harrisburg. Via campaign donations in excess of $30 million over the last two decades, it helped elect Mayor Jim Kenney and various other city council members. Dougherty's own brother sits on the state's highest court, largely thanks to the union's political largesse. There are 116 criminal charges levied against those named in the indictment, which spans from embezzlement of hundreds of thousands of dollars to falsification of federal income tax reports. For Hennen, the corruption charges include depriving city residents of honest public service by using his seat to do Dougherty's personal bidding. Quote, on or about July 23rd, 2015, family member number one sent a text to defendant John Dougherty stating, quote, yoga at 12 o'clock. I need a ride at 1:15, please. And Dougherty then texted defendant Nico Rodriguez. Family member needs a pickup on or about the same day defendant Rodriguez picked up family member number one from Dougherty's residence and drove family number one to various personal appointments. On or about August 23rd, 2015, defendant Brian Burroughs advised defendant Robert Hennen that the kids who work for defendant John Dougherty did not want to do any work for Local 98, with Burroughs stating, Dougherty has got his nephew and another person, and thinks them kids are them kids. It's all smoke and mirrors with them kids. That deadbeat, he's just a stone blank. That's all that kid is. I don't know what they do all day. It's all strange. It's all strange. And a lot of this to me is just, you know, kind of, I don't know, nonsense. But then you get into the whole part about taxes. When you get into the fact that you might be using a tax to get retribution on people to cost them their jobs and their livelihoods, that's the kind of stuff you got to burn for, man, in my opinion. You got to burn for this because this has really cost people's livelihoods. I know people who've worked in the soda industry and they've lost everything. I know people that drove trucks and lost everything. And the whole time we've been told by this mayor of Philadelphia, this guy who's a disgrace, Jim Kenney, who's a disgrace, we've been told that they're making it up. Remember that? Over and over again, Jim Kenney came out and said they're making it up. Meanwhile, the guy's turning around and he's making Philadelphia a sanctuary city, and he's turning around and he's going off against the president, saying the president's corrupt and all the other stuff. And now we're finding out that they purposely went after the Teamsters to cost them 100 jobs. If true, a very sad day. But I have to ask this question. If not true, how did the idea of a soda tax come to fruition? Was it just a coincidence that they were talking about creating a soda tax to punish people? Was that a coincidence? Is that what you call one of those things that you go, ah, what do you know? You know, it just seems to me a little bit too coincidental. You know, like somebody's trying too hard to make it look coincidental. The soda tax came along and it was very controversial and so many people spoke out against it. And we were told it was going to solve all the problems of the schools. And then it turned out it wasn't doing anything to help the schools. And in fact, the money was going largely to City Hall. And the entire time that was happening, I had people on the show coming on and talking about the effects that they were having, warning about the effects they were having. Grocery stores were closed. People would leave the city of Philadelphia to buy soda. And each and every time we were told by the mayor of Philadelphia, we were making it up. So I guess my question becomes this. If, in fact, we were making it up, was the person who just happened to talk about all this in the indictment just very, I don't know, fortuitous? Like they had some sort of ESP powers, that they knew all this was going to happen, they knew the effects it would have, but had no conversations with anybody who actually put it in place. In other words, it's all just circumstantial. Do you believe that for a second? Do you believe that they actually just had conversations about a soda tax, screwing the Teamsters at a political revenge, and then a soda tax just happened to happen? Just occurred. It just happened to at the same time. And that the Teamsters really did suffer, but it's all coincidence. Because you see, to me, that's too much of a coincidence. I guess my old school Jersey antenna comes up and says, you know what? You don't make something like that up. Maybe the other stuff is all made up. I don't know. Yoga pants and all the other nonsense in the indictment. I don't really know. But to me, when you're talking about using the city and using government to go after your enemies in the form of taxation, and all of that comes true, to then turn around and go, it was just hyperbole. And if it wasn't hyperbole, and if it was true, then what did Jim Kenney know? And what did Jim Kenney know? When? Now, why aren't people asking these questions is my question. Where is the media in Philadelphia asking the mayor, and why won't the mayor come on this show? Because I have a First Amendment right to find out. We all do. I have a First Amendment right to ask him these questions. I'd like to know from the mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney, did you know anything about this? I mean, the union helped elect you, right? So did you know? Were you part of this? Were you trying to screw the Teamsters too? Or are you just a victim in all this? Are you just a guy who got taken for a ride in all this? You know, everybody should be... This should be national news right now. This should be national news because everybody remembers the whole thing with Bridgegate, Jersey, now that Chris Christie's making all the rounds, that they closed a few lanes of a bridge. Actually, they redirected a few lanes of a bridge for political retribution. Remember that? Caused a lot of people a lot of pain, a lot of heartbreak. Remember that? Okay. That was national news because Christie had political ambitions nationally. That's what we're told. Now, if true... And this is an indictment now. Much like Bridgegate, people were charged with federal crimes. Well, people here have been charged with federal crimes. So the national media should be asking the following questions. Have people's livelihoods been hurt out of political retribution? Have people's businesses closed out of political retribution? Have people's jobs been lost out of political retribution? Those questions should be asked by national media. But, you know, there's once again something that's very glaring in all this, is there not? We're talking about Democrats. So because we're talking about Democrats, none of this makes national news. None of it. It's the same thing over in Jersey with Katie Brennan, the woman who alleges that there was rape in the governor's office, and Phil Murphy, the governor, and all his cronies don't know who hired that guy. Nobody knows who hired that guy. Al Alvarez, who allegedly raped her. Nobody knows nothing. No media attention, no national media attention. This is the problem. If redirecting a couple lanes of traffic is bad, out of political revenge is bad, because you're costing people a lot of inconvenience and time and money and that sort of thing, and I do think it is bad, then certainly implementing a soda tax out of political retribution, also bad. So again, I ask the question, where's MSNBC? If a governor's office covers up who moved the lanes and when, and a governor's office covers up who hired a guy who was alleged to be a rapist, where's the national media? Again, is my question. Both things are Democrats. This is the problem. This is why so many people get frustrated. The double standard. The pass the media gives to the Democratic Party, and the pass they seem to get everywhere. Nationally, as it is. Nationally. And the way they all cover for each other as well. We have to know if the soda tax that we're all paying in the city and all the jobs that have been hurt and the businesses that have closed and all the people who have had hardships because of it actually happened out of political retribution. And I don't care what spin the union's doing. I want to hear from the national media as they probe this issue very, very deeply. That's what I want to know. And I think we all deserve that. Politico today has a piece. Pennsylvania Democrats rocked by indictment of top political boss. Powerful union leader holds the single most effective political organization in the key 2020 state. This also comes after a big report about people on the rolls, the voting rolls, who should not be there, by the way, because they are on the voting rolls illegally. Holly Otterbein writing today for Politico, the indictment of one of Pennsylvania's most powerful behind-the-scenes political players is rattling Democrats in a state It's expected to be a key 2020 battleground. Bombshell charges announced Wednesday against building trades leader John Dougherty, a Philadelphia labor kingpin whose union is the single biggest independent source of campaign funding in the state, threaten to sap State House and Congressional Democrats of a mega donor, slow the party's momentum in the Philadelphia suburbs, and sideline the man who orchestrated the Democratic takeover of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The court radically redrew the state's congressional map last year, leading to the Democratic pickup of a handful of congressional seats in November. Dougherty's tentacles spread so far that Republicans already think it could be a boon for President Donald Trump's election chances in 2020. Quote from Charlie Giroux, our friend. Anytime there's a vacuum, it gets filled. And I believe there's an opportunity for the Republicans to take advantage of the fact that the Democratic machinery is minus one piece. It's hard to overstate Dougherty's power in Pennsylvania. His union's heavy purse and legendary get-out-the-vote operation has helped elect congressmen, governors, judges, mayors, state legislators, and city council members. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 98, was a major donor to Democratic Governor Tom Wolf, played a critical role in putting Democratic Congressman Brendan Boyle in office, and was almost single-handedly responsible for making Jim Kenney the mayor of Philadelphia. A few years before the nation's high-stakes midterm elections, the union's deep pockets helped put three justices on the state Supreme Court, including Dougherty's brother, Kevin. Quote, I would argue that they're the single most effective political organization in the state, said Ryan Costello, former congressman. They're thinking five, six, seven steps ahead. Dougherty was charged with embezzlement, bribery, and theft in a 116-count indictment that alleged he and others stole more than $600,000 in union funds and repeatedly strong-armed public and private officials with the subtlety of a sledgehammer. Prosecutors said Dougherty and his associates used the union's credit cards to buy everything from Bruce Springsteen tickets to luxury clothing gift cards to baby wipes to men's exercise pants. And, of course, now, whenever you think about 2020 in the context of all of this, and you think about how close Pennsylvania is, people get very, very worried. Privately, many Pennsylvania Democrats described a grim and uncertain mood in the wake of Wednesday's charges, and many Republicans saw an opportunity. Democrats speculated about the potential effect on the 2020 Democratic primary. Many old school members of the Philadelphia building trades support former Vice President Joe Biden, who hasn't announced his potential intentions but spoke at a fundraiser in November, where the host committee included the trade unions. Meanwhile, in a highly competitive congressional primary last year, Senator Bernie Sanders endorsed a key ally of Dougherty's against the wishes of some local Our Revolution groups who preferred another candidate. When people run for president, John's on the list of people they call in Pennsylvania. In the general election, it will have national implications for 2020 in Pennsylvania if John and the union are sidelined. You're talking about potentially millions of dollars, let alone their different operations for Get Out the Vote. Now, here's the thing that this is what I think it's important to understand. None of this is going to sideline these people. I mean, you know this and I know this. This is the thing about Democrats and the thing about Jersey and Pennsylvania, and it goes on and on. Did it sideline Bob Menendez, his indictment? The guy got reelected as a senator. I'm reading this and I'm laughing. I'm chuckling to myself. As Politico tries to pretend as if this is going to hurt Democrats in Pennsylvania. How? When a guy who's under indictment by the feds for all kinds of sleazy stuff gets reelected to the United States Senate, how are behind-the-scenes kingmakers going to be hurt by this indictment? You know what I'm saying? If candidates aren't hurt, how are the behind-the-scenes people going to be hurt? How are if the candidates who are indicted get elected in our region, in the Democratic Party, how are the behind-the-scenes kingmakers who get indicted going to hurt candidates who aren't indicted in our region? They're not. It's irrelevant. It's an irrelevant factor. I would love to tell you that this is going to be a major issue in 2020. But I think this is all fluff. I think this is all nonsense. I think this is Politico having to write a story because they have to write a story, and that's it. Mick McKeon, a Philadelphia-born former Trump administration official who now runs a public affairs firm, said that if Dougherty were sidelined, it would leave no one at the top of the state's Democratic machinery carrying the banner for white working-class voters. Come on. Give me a break. He's not going to be sidelined. How's he going to be sidelined? This is the problem. This is the problem with the corruption of the Democratic Party. I've been talking about this for years. I've seen it too close. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. These people are never sidelined. Give me a break. He's already sent out a letter to his union members telling him this is all. This is the 1% coming after him. It's a class war going on in America. The 1% control most of the wealth in this country. Wages are stagnant, blah, blah, blah. The haves and the have-nots, blah, blah, blah. You think this is really going to sideline the Democrats in 2020? Sideline the union guys? If you do, then you've just been born. Now, there's an old saying, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Bill is in Philly. Bill, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to answer your questions. There's so many tangents involved with this, but you said, did it affect jobs? And that was one of the questions you asked. How many jobs?
The soda tax, right?
It affected hundreds of thousands of man hours for particularly the Carpenters Union. This whole thing, like you pretty much were hitting on it. This is kind of petty paybacks. They got one guy, but there's still three more that they need to go after.
All right, don't name names though on the air. Okay?
I'm not going to do that because obviously there's problems. But it is the Jersey side connection to this too. This started basically about this time in 2015. Don't hold me to the dates exactly. Around the auto show, when carpenters were picketing at the time. There was some issues with work issues down there. There were some things that happened that weren't good. But anyway, I'm going to cut to the chase. The first thing Doherty had to do was get rid of Ed Coryell Sr., who was old school, stable union boss in this city. The other person that they got rid of was Bob Brady. They did that through the convention center. Doherty went in there and undercut when they were doing the contract negotiations, and Ed Coryell Sr. was walking out with Carpenter's contract to go back to his membership. John Doherty walked back in with the other another organization from the stagehands, I won't give names, their president. They walked in with a contract that Doherty wrote for them to undercut the Carpenters out of that situation. Now, here's why. The Carpenters and the Teamsters were the two unions that came forward with contract negotiations that actually lowered the end user cost, which had always been a complaint in Philadelphia Choir for like 15 years, how much money they make, they're ripping them off, and et cetera, et cetera. The Carpenters came forward with a reduction in cost for end user cost, which was going to knock out two markup agencies within the convention center, basically are two slush funds for the city and the state. A little dirty secret about that. For the Teamster situation, most people don't realize this. There are three weigh-ins to go into the convention center with goods. It's $100 for every 1,000 pounds of product. There's one weigh-in in South Philly. There was one weigh-in in the back of the center. There's one on the way out of the center. The Teamsters came forward with a situation where they could reduce that and get rid of it and make it a $100 single weigh-in at the back of the convention center. The Carpenters, on the other side, they came forward and said, look, we can knock out the two middleman markups that, in essence, was raising the rates to almost $260 an hour for a carpenter at the center by the markups, not by the Carpenters. The Carpenters offered to have a liaison at their hall who would handle the convention center manning at about $96 an hour to cover workman's compensation and everything, accident, injury, anything else.
Let me just ask you this. Is this what led to the hatred for the Teamsters that led to the soda tax?
Okay, I don't think that soda tax was generated to knock the Teamsters out. The reason, I don't...
Because that's in the indictment,
I don't buy that.
You know. You
don't buy
it?
That.
All right. Well, I can't, you know, this is obviously a very complex for another time. Let me ask you this quick question. Do you believe that these guys are guilty?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay. All right.
Like I said, they didn't go far enough. They need to go all the way through. You said that they won't be sidelined. You're right. But if you brought them all in, all the players and all the money and all the philanthropists who are financing this out of Jersey with his machine, if you brought them in, because they're culpable in this, and I can tell you how. And
well, listen, I understand your point. Listen, and thanks for the call, Bill. I just, you know, it's one of those situations where I've seen it too many times. I don't think you ever bring the whole thing down to its knees, but it's a guy who lived it, and he says they're guilty, so there you go. You know, the Super Bowl, they bring in all this money, right, for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And then what happens when it's over?
Yeah.
Nothing, right? I mean, are these towns transformed? No. All this money they spend on the Super Bowl, well, this year, Dawn, they're doing something extra special. Super Bowl ad offers free hotel rooms for baby making. That's right. Super Bowl Hotels.com is a unique promotion that will offer 53 free hotel rooms for couples to make a baby. Action News Headquarters sports business reporter Darren Rovell posted about the hotel reservations website, and they said, customers, if you're looking to score, they're giving away 53 hotel rooms following the Super Bowl to encourage Super Bowl baby making. Promotion starts after the game, and there you go. So
it's...
That's it. You just got to say you're looking to get lucky, and you might get a room. So,
nice.
Yeah,
and baby making.
Baby
That's
making.
Interesting.
Do they baby
need,
making.
Do they need proof? Like how do they know?
That's a good question,
get,
right?
Yeah, do you get, like, to Greg's point, do you get like a prize in 9 months?
That's it.
Or then they have the follow-up. You have to name your baby after, like, the Chick-fil-A owner or something.
Yeah.
Like the Colonel Sanders.
I think that's probably the way to do it, you know? You should get a little souvenir, too. Right? John Stossel. I love John Stossel. He had a whole thing on the Super Bowl. All the money they spend. All the government money that's spent on the Super Bowl. I mean, there's a lot of money spent. Government, our taxpayer dollars for the Super Bowl.
And why do they do that? There's plenty of private enterprise money.
Great question, right? Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. Maybe that's what I'll do tomorrow. I'll talk about that a little bit because it's one of those things that wakes your eye. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the right people getting their beaks wet, right?
And getting tickets.
Can I just explain something? So first of all, Councilman Bobby Heenan, his name is missing an E. It's H-E-N-O-N, but it's pronounced Heenan. What am I missing here? Hennin.
I like your name, whatever. Bobby the Brain.
Bobby the Brain? Yeah. Bobby the Brain Heenan. I'm sure I'm going to get my knees broken as I walk home tonight.
Hey, you talking about...
Yeah. Hey, yeah, how you doing?
Let's.
Yeah,
you and your Volvo.
Me and my Volvo. My taillight's broken out. I got armed guards around me. Yeah. Yeah, you. Hey! That's stupid. I never even heard of this guy before until he got indicted. Well, you're one of those guys that stays under the radar, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and the feds are saying he was a pawn used by Daugherty.
Obviously. Big dope. I mean, to get pinched in this kind of stuff, you got to be a real genius, you know what I mean? How many people get away with this corruption, and then you do it, and then you get caught because you're dumb? Basically, that's the bottom line, right? We can all agree on that point.
That's what they say. If the, you know, that some people, you wonder how they get away with what they get away with. They're very clever. They have a lot of lawyers. They find the loopholes.
That's it. They find the loopholes, Dawn. There's always a loophole. Oh, man. Johnny Duck.
I think it's significant there are 116 counts, and Johnny Duck is charged with 91 of them.
So not exactly a grand slam.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I'm just saying. You know.
That's what, 20 that he's not accused of. So there's that.
I'm just saying. You know, there's 20 that, not for nothing, but, you know. Well, like I said, Dawn, he's innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
As Jim Kenney says. But it's just interesting how close Jim Kenney is to all these guys, huh? The mayor of Philadelphia?
Very close.
Very close.
They pushed him to be mayor, and they funded him during his mayor. I mean, we remember that. He was fully backed.
As I'm drinking a Jersey Trunk soda.
Also, when has Jim Kenney ever waited to see if somebody, you know, guilty or innocent until proven guilty? Like, that's not exactly his MO, is it? I mean, he's usually the one who jumps on things before there's, you know, all the evidence is out there.
By the way, CJ Philly says it is pronounced Hennin, not Heenan. He says, I grew up with the dude.
Oh, thank you.
So, I don't know. Nobody knows nothing about how the guy's name is pronounced.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, don't they have a union show? I shouldn't talk about that. I got to be careful. Get me the cattle rod. I'm going to have to wind up getting shocked again. That's what I got to do. All right, let's try out our new sound box, shall we? Let's see what we got here. We have, let's talk about corruption for a second.
I had tears of rage.
Did you? All right, let's see. Dan and Greg updated the box now, Dawn. We have a lot more now sound effects we can use, which is very, very exciting. So we have, for example, this is a good one here. Let's see here.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
There you go.
I love it. Elizabeth Warren.
There you go. Former Native American. Now, a lot of you may be getting a beer this weekend as you watch the Super Bowl, which is on Sunday.
Yes. 6:30.
Tomorrow is supposed to be Wing Bowl. It's not happening tomorrow because it's been canceled.
By who?
Great question.
Who canceled that?
The evil overlords of Entercom. Now, there is another event going on in South Philadelphia tomorrow. Does anybody know the name of that?
Would that be...
Chickies and Pete's or something?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dan. Man. Yes, Wing Pole. Wing
interesting
Pole.
Dan knew that.
Yeah, Dan knew that right away, right? Right away.
Wings and strippers. He's in.
Yeah, he's in. I think it's only cheerleaders and Club Risque, if I'm not mistaken, that are formally engaged in this ordeal tomorrow. But I'm sure all the other establishments. They open early tomorrow, too. Because in the old days at Wing Bowl, you remember the days of Wing Bowl where they used to have corporate suites at the Wells Fargo Center for Wing Bowl? That's amazing to me that ever happened. Where companies would actually bring guests to watch Wing Bowl in the corporate suite. That's amazing. Fine Art says, I better use that Volvo app to start my car all the time. Good suggestion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, how you doing? It's all right.
Yeah, you.
Yeah. Super Bowl of corporate welfare. Sunday is a Super Bowl. John Stossel, I love John Stossel. I look forward to playing poker and watching. It's easy to do both because in the three-hour-plus NFL game, there are just 11 minutes of actual football action. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, with all the penalties and the, you know, yes.
In a three-hour-plus NFL game, there are just 11 minutes of actual football action.
Well,
oh my goodness.
Maybe 11 minutes a quarter, I don't know.
That's why I can't do sports radio. It's too freaking boring. So we'll have plenty of time to watch the Atlanta politicians take credit for the stadium that will host the game. Atlanta's former mayor calls it, quote, simply the best facility in the world. Politicians aren't likely to talk about what I explained in my latest video, how taxpayers were forced to donate more than, ready, $700 million to the owner of Atlanta's football team, billionaire Arthur Blank, to get him to build the stadium. In addition to subsidies, the Falcons got all the money from the parking, restaurants, and merchandise sales. But not an unusual one. Some NFL teams collect even more in government subsidies than it costs to build their stadiums. Taxpayers, most of whom never attend a game, subsidize billionaires. Now, John Stossel writes, it's a scam. I don't fault Blank for grabbing the money. I like the guy. He made our lives better by founding Home Depot. We're both stutterers who donate money to ALS, a stuttering treatment program. AIS. Since politicians give money away, Blank's shareholders would consider him irresponsible not to take it. The problem is that politicians give away your money in the first place. I understand why they do it. They like going to the games and telling voters, I brought the team to our town. Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman and her cronies recently funneled $750 million of taxpayer money to the owners of the Oakland Raiders to get them to move the team to Vegas. Reporter John Ralston asked, quote, why should there be 1 cent of public money when you have two guys who could pay for this themselves? The mayor replied lamely, quote, I think it's really a benefit to all of us that could spill over into something. Has anybody ever seen a stadium that has ever turned around an area of a city ever?
No.
Ever.
No.
I mean, the house that Ruth built is in one of the worst neighborhoods in America in the Bronx, right?
Yes.
Outside, well, think of where the Wells Fargo is. Think of all the stadiums in Philadelphia. Yeah. Is there anything there outside the stadiums? No. You have to drive to someplace.
Yep.
There's nothing right outside the stadium. It's not like, oh, look, all the luxury suites and restaurants. There's nothing there. You have to go someplace. You have to get into a vehicle and go.
Yep.
Or walk quite a ways, but anyway, this goes on and on. I wonder how much of this is connected to other things that we've been talking about throughout the afternoon today.
Are you saying that maybe the first half of the show or the first half of this hour may be correlated to the second half of this hour?
I wonder, Greg, if there's a correlation.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you.
I'm just wondering.
Racioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.